Chapter 21 Peter Duval closed the report folder on the Fox Farm massacre. His face was drawn and tired as he looked up. I'm still shocked by this dreadful tragedy. It was so senseless. Fox remained impassive. He sat across the desk from the defense minister and tamped the tobacco in his old pipe. The room fell silent. Only the muted noise of Pretoria's traffic seeped through the large windows overlooking Burger Park. At last, Duval slipped the folder into a drawer and avoided Fox's eyes as he spoke. I regret that our patrols failed to catch the savages who were responsible. Only one man was responsible, said Fox grimly. The men who slaughtered my family were acting under his orders. I know what you are thinking, Captain Fox, but we have no proof that Lusana was behind this. I'm satisfied he was. What can I say? Even if we knew for certain he is beyond our borders, there is no way we can touch him. I can touch him. How? By volunteering to lead your Operation Wild Rose. Duval could sense the vengeful hate that seethed within Patrick Fox. The defense minister rose to his feet and stood at the window, gazing over the sea of jacaranda trees that quilted the city. I sympathize with your feelings, Captain. However, the answer is no. But why, man? Wild Rose is a monstrous concept. If the operation failed, the consequences would prove disastrous to our government. Fox rapped his pipe on the minister's desk, snapping the stem. No, damn it! My farm was only the opening thrust. Lusana and his bloody mob have got to be stopped before the whole country runs red. The risks far outweigh the possible benefits. I won't fail, Fox said coldly. Duval looked like a man torn apart by his conscience. He paced the room nervously, then stopped and stared down at Fox. I cannot promise to evacuate you successfully when the time comes. And the Defense Ministry will, of course, deny any association with the venture if you are uncovered. Understood. Fox heaved a great sigh of relief. Then a thought occurred to him. The train, Minister. How was it you traveled from the operating room in a Durban hospital to the Pembroke rail yard so quickly? For the first time, Duval smiled. A simple ruse, I went in the front door of the hospital and out the back. An ambulance carried me to the Heydrick Air Base, where I took a military jet to an airstrip near Pembroke. The train belongs to our president. I merely borrowed it for a few hours while it was traveling to a scheduled overhaul. But why the complicated illusion? I often find it necessary to cloud my movements, Duval answered. And I think you will agree Operation Wild Rose is not exactly a product we want to advertise. I see your point. And you, Captain Fox, can you drop from sight without prodding suspicious minds? Fox nodded solemnly. I've left Umkono under a cloud of grief. My friends and neighbors think I've returned to Scotland. All right, then. Duval moved behind his desk, wrote on a slip of paper, and passed it across to Fox. Here is the address of a hotel 10 miles south of the city. Check into a room and wait for the necessary papers and instructions to get the ball rolling. As of this moment, the government of South Africa considers you dead. He relaxed his shoulders. God help us now. God? No, I don't think so. An evil light began to dance in Fox's eyes. I sincerely doubt he'd want any part of it. On the floor below the minister's office, Colonel Zegler sat alone in an operations room and paced back and forth in front of a large table stacked with glossy photographs. For the first time in his military career, he was totally baffled. The raid on the Fox Farm had an aura of intrigue about it that did not fit the usual terrorist scheme. It was accomplished with too much precision and sophistication for the AAR. Besides, it was not Lusana's style. Granted, he might order the deaths of white soldiers, but he would never condone the murders of Fox's Bantu workers, especially the women and children. That part ran counter to the insurgent leader's known strategy. Who, then? Zegler mused aloud. Certainly not black units of the South African Defense Forces. That would have been impossible without Zeigler's knowledge. He stopped and shuffled the photographs taken by a team of investigators after the raid. No witnesses were ever found and none of the raiders caught. It was too perfect in execution, too completely free of flaws. The slightest clue to the attacker's identity eluded him. But his years of experience told him it was there, obscured in the background. Like a surgeon examining X-rays in preparation for a delicate operation, Zeigler picked up a magnifying glass and for the 20th time began scrutinizing each photograph.